What if Christianity is not true? What if all that you hold on to, the faith in God of Christianity, is a nothing more than a delusion based on someone's carefully crafted deception? What if the end of your Christian life, all you have is a handful of wishful thinking? You see, these three questions can drop the huge rock of doubt in the heart of people who are not so sure about the faith in Jesus Christ. The ripple effect of this doubt can make many people to stumble, and some will fall away from faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the precise objective of Satan to use and to go against the people. These questions are not anything new, folks. A little twist here and a little change there, it's been there from the beginning of the human history. Remember, it was there in the Garden of Eden. When Satan came to Eve and encouraged her, to tempt her to take the forbidden fruit, it was there. And it was also there when Jesus walked on earth. Jewish rulers followed him around and tried to twist his truth. It was there. And it was there when Apostle Paul was giving this very teaching, writing this very letter to the people of Corinth. Little twist there, little change there. And it's still here around amongst the so-called social gospel Christians. Have you ever heard the word social gospels? If you don't know what that means, it means that people are more concerned about helping poor and doing good things, and they're thinking that they are going to go to heaven by doing good things. Not so. Not according to my Bible. This morning's scripture text has come from Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, and we will start at the verse 12. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is our joy to remember that what you have done for us. You extend your grace, you extend your mercy through your Son Jesus Christ while we're still sinners. You extend your invitation to us that we may come to know Jesus Christ, that we can be sons and daughters of God Almighty. We are asking you to let your Holy Spirit upon us, anoint your word, anoint the one who speaks, that we may comprehend the reason for the resurrection, how important this is, and what would happen if there was no resurrection. Father, we pray for the President Obama that he may come to know Jesus Christ. He may do what is right in your sight. He may do all the things that are according to your will, according to your way. Father, it is our desire for you to speak to him. And we also pray for our troops around the world, especially in Afghanistan and Iraq. And wherever they are in harm's way, we are asking you to protect them. And you willing, you bring them back to their families, safe and sound. Pray this in Jesus' name. Oh, one more thing, Lord. We also pray for our law enforcement personnel, sheriff deputies, police officers, the federal agent. And we also lift up the firefighters, especially the one who attend our church. And I'm thinking of our assistant pastor, Merrill Simon, who got called out for the wildfire this morning, as well as Don Marion into wildfire. We're asking you to put the hedge of protection around them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 12 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. You see, the logic Apostle Paul is bringing to you is very methodical. Why the Apostle Paul is so careful to prove the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It wasn't because the Corinthian church people are not believing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They believe, for most of them. But there are some people that believe that there is no resurrection of the dead people, other people. They're just normal people. Let's go to verse 11, please. One verse before. Therefore, whether it was I or they, we preach and you believe. See, majority of people believe. So why is it important? Why is it important to have the clear concept of the resurrection of the dead? Not only the Jesus Christ. In spite of a clear word from the Old Testament prophecies, in spite of the clear word from the Jesus teaching, and in spite of the clear teaching of Apostle Paul, people are buying the bag of Greek philosophy. And who taught them that these people, the Greek philosophers, taught them the souls are immortal, but the body is not. And it was a goodbye once the person is dead. And so we'll go somewhere, there won't be any bodily resurrection. Before we go any further, let me just ask you this. Hear me well. How many of you guys do not believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ? How many of you? And some of you think, I'm not raising my hand. Since nobody is raising my hand, okay. How many of you guys do not believe the bodily resurrection of the follower of Jesus Christ? Do not believe. So at this point, at least you're thinking, you're pretending that you're believing that, right? So we all agree that you are believing this. According to them, according to Greek philosophers, immortality only remains in spiritual things. In other words, they are flatly saying that dead men don't rise again. It was the statement of the Greek philosophy, and it was being parroted by Corinthian church, at least a few of them in the church. I just read an article Friday morning that, do you know 43% of born-again Christians in America, I'm talking about professing born-again Christians, 43% think that everybody will go to heaven. Can you believe that? They somehow believe that everybody will go to heaven whether they receive Jesus in their heart or not. Do you know what the problem is? They were not taught from the pulpit. And they do not find the truth of Jesus Christ from the Bible. The problem with their thought is that it was baseless, what the Corinthian people thought. Instead of obeying what the Lord was teaching them through the Apostle Paul, they rather listened to the false teaching. It only shows spiritual immaturity and the lack of discernment of their part in the God's word. This is a precise point Apostle Paul is trying to make in his methodical and systematic teaching. And before we get to his teaching, the things we must understand and clearly know, every powerful aspect of Christianity is hinged on one thing only. You know what that is? Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without that, we have nothing. Please allow me to explain. It's not like you have a choice. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a far more important than, listen, it's a far more important than his death on the cross. You know why? Because if he was not raised from the dead, it is nothing more than God died on the cross and he could not overcome the power of death. You understand me? Keep your finger there and move down to the verse 26 of chapter 15, please. The last enemy that was to be destroyed is death. In other words, if God could, Jesus could not be risen from the dead, there is no way he could break the, that means he could not break the power of death. This is the reason why the Satan is doing everything he can to destroy and confuse and malign the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his followers. You with me on that? He's doing everything he can. The style of Paul's argument here in chapter 15, I wrote as a 14. My finger was too fast. It should be 15. It's known as a logical deduction. If you've been in the debate team and while you're in school, you would know what that means. He's connecting one after another after another. He says, if the statement is true, dead don't rise, the Christ is not risen. And if the Christ is not risen, and this, and this, and this, he's connecting one after another. I don't want you to miss the very important point the Apostle Paul is making here. You see, the dead man don't rise, but the Christ is risen. What does it mean? That means Christ is not a man. Do you follow? Dead people is not risen, but Christ is risen. That means he's not a man. Well, somebody was maybe he's a half man? No. According to my Bible, according to your Bible on your left, Jesus Christ was 100% man, and he was 100% God. And some will say, that's not possible. Of course it's not possible. That's why he's God, and you are not. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, please. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. And what does it say? The what? Half man? The God, the man, Christ Jesus. All right, go to Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. In all things, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation. Try to pronounce that thing fast, 4 or 5 times, for sins of the people. He was made be like his brethren, that is a follower of Jesus Christ. All right, back to the verse, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 14 this time, please. And if Christ is not risen, then our teaching is empty and your faith is also empty. This is a 2 points we need to attack here. There is no such a thing as a good news of Jesus Christ for man apart from the resurrection of Jesus. There is no need for the church like this or anything deals with Jesus Christ because it all would be a big waste of time if there is no resurrection. Then someone will say, wait a minute, there's a good teachings, good moral and ethical teaching in this Bible. But what good is it for you to have this Bible, good moral and ethical teaching, but the author, Jesus Christ, is a liar about his own resurrection and the people's resurrection? You follow me? Do you follow my logic? If he is nothing more than a liar, why bother? Why don't you just pick up one of those comic books and read it? At least you can enjoy it and you laugh at it. It's like giving a man 200 pounds of air conditioner and 127 degree outside or the inside room. But you can have this air conditioner, but we don't have a power to run that air conditioner. God cannot help us if there is no resurrection. A dead religious leader, no matter how wise he is, no matter how worthy he was in his earthly existence, he cannot change one hair of you. But God could, because there is a resurrection. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not true, upon every believer's grave, there ought to be this marker that says, believed for nothing, lived for nothing, and died for nothing. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Noah, David, Gideon, Samson, Barak, Jephthah, Samuel, Isaiah, and Elijah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all the rest, all had empty faith in God who couldn't pull off the salvation as he planned. Because he couldn't raise his son out of the grave if there was no resurrection. I'm keep going back to the if there is no resurrection. But all these precious people mentioned in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, known as Hall of Faith, all these people put their faith in Jesus Christ. And they lived for him. They died for him. Their life didn't mean a thing to them. They are willing to be persecuted, sawn in half, and scourged, and imprisoned, and stoned, persecuted. And they live in the sheepskin and goatskin, live in the cave, all these things. Their effort was nothing if there is no resurrection. Move down to verse 15, please. Yes, we have found the false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, that's God the Father raising up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact dead do not rise. See how it's connected? If the dead is not raised, Jesus Christ is not raised, then our faith is in vain. Our witness is in vain. Our teaching is in vain. If the resurrection is not true, Apostle Paul and the disciples of Jesus Christ must be conspired something, deliberately deceive the millions and billions of people around the world in human history. They need to be placed in the same historical category like Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin and Mao Zedong, who killed millions of people and billions of people and deceived them. They should be in the same category. If there is no resurrection, then Jesus is not only not a victor, but not a mere victim, but he should be called villain. Instead of that, he should be a villain and led others needlessly to the faith he proclaimed to be true. You know what, though? How many death row inmates do you know are willing to die for someone else's lie? It's one thing for them to die for their own lie, but someone else's lie. Think about it. According to this critics of the Bible, they said that disciples of Jesus Christ, this ragged bunch who was cowering inside the upper room and because they don't want to get captured by Roman soldiers or priests, temple police, I guess. So they were hiding inside the room. They are telling us that these coward disciples of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden they attacked a group of Roman soldiers in front of the tombs, and somehow they defeated them, moved the 2-ton stone away, and take the body away from them in the middle of the night. And also, if they came up, if they are the one who hid the body, when they are captured before their execution, why wouldn't they, out of the 11 people, wouldn't one of them, since it's someone else's lie? You know what, guys? Time out. Why don't I confess that this is a whole lie? Okay? I'll just get out of this execution thing. Do you know what, though? Every one of them died. And every one of them was murdered. All of them, was, with the exception of Apostle Paul, was murdered and executed for the name of Christ. They all had a choice to bail out or to keep their mouth shut. But they didn't think that their own earthly life is that much. Doesn't it tell you something? Like the truth worth dying for? Move down to verse 16, please. Verse 16. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If the Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. In these two verses, Apostle Paul restates the major premise of his argument, but he also adds a kicker at the end of verse 17. Sin's power is unbroken. Sin's power is unbroken. There is no if there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ and his people. Do you know what that means? If sin's power is not broken, if the Jesus is not risen, and sin overpowered him, that means his atoning sacrifice for our sin was not made. That means we are sinful. If we die, we will end up in hell. And God could not forgive our sins, since atoning sacrifice is not made. Verse 18. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiful. If Christ is not risen and the dead people is not risen, and we are still in our sin and when we die, hell hold them all. Satan won and God lost. Is that true? No. If that's the case, there is no hope for tomorrow. You might as well do your best, enjoy whatever you can enjoy here on earth. Charge up your credit card up to the ceiling and let somebody else worry about it. And you're thinking, oh, Pastor Juno said that. I'm going to do that right now. Uh-huh. Wait until you get the first bill, see what happens. Doesn't this sound so hopeless? If you know that there is nothing to look for after this life. Resurrection is not merely life after death. Let me say it one more time. Resurrection is not life after death. Rather, it is a continuation of the life after death in glorified body, which are our present body in glorified state. And you may ask, where do you find it in the Bible? I'm glad that you're asking. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in a corruption. It is raised in what? In corruption. Move down to the verse 49, please. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Did you notice the M is a capital? That means Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. If I die right now, I will go to heaven, not because I'm a good person, because I'm a born-again Christian. By the grace, only by the grace of God, I will go to heaven. I will no longer have this body. I don't have to worry about the diabetes problem. I don't have to worry about high cholesterol problem. I can eat the monster all I want, if they have a monster up in heaven. I'm sure they have something better than monster. I can eat whatever I want to eat, and without any worry. I will move from place to place with the speed of thought, just like Jesus did. I will walk through the wall, just like Jesus did. You will have that. If you follow Jesus Christ, the moment you turn from this earthly life to the heavenly life, you will have that kind of body. Don't ask me whether you're gonna have, whether we're gonna have a fat body or a slim body. I don't know. Nobody knows. If they have some answer, they are lying. Not only the Bible tells us that we will live beyond the grave, but also it also tells us there is hope beyond this life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead proves that there is a life beyond the grave for the believers of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 17, please. Acts 17, verse 31. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Folks, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us the power to live the rightful Christian life. Go to Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies and through his spirit who dwells in you. The resurrection, therefore, promises us that God will not only give us life beyond the grave, but also he gives us the power to live the Christian life on earth. We have hope in Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection. I said this before, but I will say again. You see, people can survive without food for over 40 days. People can survive without water for 4 days. People can survive without air for 4 minutes. People cannot survive without hope, not even 4 seconds. We have hope in Christ Jesus. Listen, resurrection is no peripheral issue. It provides the power to Christianity and freedom from sin and the joy to follow, and joy to the followers of Jesus Christ. The hope in Jesus Christ is available for anyone, everyone who is looking for the salvation. Anyone who are not sure about the next life, you can have that. But the majority of people choose not to accept God's invitation. You know what they say? I can make my way to heaven because I am a good person. Some people say they've been going to church for an entire life. They don't know anything other than church life. They say, I'm a religious person. I know I'm going to go to heaven if I die right now. Or some people will say this. I heard this with my own eyes. Some will say, I don't care what you say. I didn't come here to hear this kind of thing. And you cannot tell me that I cannot go to heaven. Even though I don't believe the way you believe. As I said before, heaven is God's residence. You don't walk into somebody's residence unless that person invites you. You do that to my home, guess what happened to you? Come at your own risk. That's what exactly this person used to think. Listen, please.
I will live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there's an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world is a comforting thought. However, it is only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I am deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there's freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, Life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. And that's how I felt before Christ opened my eyes, changed my heart, and reversed my thinking. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine without God. Life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be, is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world, that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It's foolish to think God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs.
I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. If there is anyone who is hesitant to receive Christ in that person's heart, you speak to him. Don't let person rest, and his spirit may not rest until he can find the rest in you. You speak to that person. We love you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.